Mystery Crate has been presented by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Hey, you guys, this is the Mystery Crate Shipping Containers here. How you guys doing today?
Oh, man, you sound so pleasant.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Because it's Friday.
I don't like this Roy, if I'm going to be honest with you.
Neither do I.
I like the Roy that's like, bleep you guys.
You guys want me to do that?
So, hey, audience.
Yeah, go f*** yourself. How about that?
Whoa, jeez. That is intense.
No! Set up what this episode is.
Go ahead.
Huh. You want me to do that?
Yeah, right. Go ahead. Yeah.
I don't know. I think Roy's doing pretty good so far.
Right. I don't think I did. I know.
All right, here's what you need to know, Roy, to set this up. The guest is Nick Costas.
Oh. Nick Costas.
He has his own podcast called You Better You Bet.
Yes, You Bet You Bet.
No, You Better You Bet. You Better You Bet.
You Bet or You Bet.
You Better You Bet.
Wordplay.
It's Better yeah. You Better.
Yeah. You Better You Bet.
You Better, why don't you do this, Mike?
And he does a bunch of digital content for Sports Illustrated. He's a gambling guy. He's not a tout, but he is a very entertaining host. He's got great energy. So go ahead and set that up.
Okay.
Everything that Mike said.
Nick, the better you better.
Mike said.
Yeah. You guys, at some point, Nick Costas was hired. And hiring can be a slow process. Cafe El Turo's COO, Dylan Miskowitz,
needed
to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he was having trouble finding qualified applicants. So he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast.
Yeah.
Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed with how fast and quick he had great candidates apply.
How can you not be?
He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to
favorite of the features.
It is the best.
Oh, it's
to
wonderful.
To filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. Also qualified, though. Relevant and qualified.
Sorry, I'm trying to do this without the script.
And that's right. How Dylan found his new director of coffee.
Ooh.
In just
Ooh.
A few days.
Oh, okay.
It's I'm not sure. How would I know who it is?
Nobody gives
the script.
Information.
Never
impossible
tells us.
For me to know.
Yeah, it's impossible. But I'm sure. Here's one thing
John
I'm sure of.
Or Jane.
They were qualified.
Yep.
And super relevant to the cause, and he won't regret the hire one bit because of ZipRecruiter.
That's right.
And with results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. You say to yourself, that can't be possible. The first day, it has to take at least 3.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe I get unqualified candidates
right.
on the first day, but no.
ZipRecruiter comes
through. Tony, look at my lips. First day.
You just spat on them. Oh, my God. Yeah.
See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free. Wait a minute.
What?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What?
Hold the phone.
There has to be a cost.
That can't be right.
There has to be something.
You know what it says? I read it wrong. Try it for $20. No. Oh, no, it says for free.
Oh!
It says for free. The $20 thing was a joke.
Wow.
Try ZipRecruiter for free. That's spelled F-R-E-E. That's not the code. I just spelled out free for you.
Oh,
try
okay.
ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/crate.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to spell that for me.
That's
that.
ZipRecruiter. Do I have to spell that part?
No.
.com/crate. C-R-A-T-E. ZipRecruiter.com/C-R-A-T-E.
Okay.
ZipRecruiter.com/crate. Uh-huh. ZipRecruiter.
It's the smartest way to hire, fellas.
Yeah,
it's the smartest way to hire.
Oh, really?
It's
the smartest. Okay.
ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire.
Nick Costas. This guy is a rising star in the media game. I'm proud of the people that we interview here on Mystery Crate. We had Kevin Clark from The Ringer a few weeks ago. He's up and coming, and Nick Costas is the same way. He's coming for all that cash.
He leads the league in energy.
Yes. Oh, wow. Very energetic, Nick Costas. So hopefully we can match his energy. Here it is, Nick Costas' debut on the Mystery Crate. So, special self-indulgent treat for Mystery Crate audience members. Now, occasionally we'll do something that's just sort of niche. Yeah. Like we'll do a Premier League preview, or we'll talk about Italian food.
Yeah.
And this week is no different than that. This week we're going to cover gambling.
Oh,
sports betting in particular. Yeah. And we're welcoming on Nick Kostos, who I think is an unbelievable Twitter follow. Really entertaining. He does some great work. Check out his weekly video series during the football season for SI. I listen to his podcast, You Better You Bet. Nick Kostos, I think, is what's so great about him is Nick, it would be an insult to call you a tout, right?
Oh, well, yeah. Tout is kind of like a real, like, negative term in the space for sure. And I don't sell. So, first of all, thanks for having me. Love you guys. Thank you very much for the opportunity here. And, yeah, I've never sold a pick before, and I never will sell a pick. I don't like to put myself over as a pro gambler because I'm not one. I'm a host that does gambling, and I have gambled myself for almost 20 years. But yeah, I will never sell a pick. And I feel like in order to be a tout, you kind of have to sell picks, and I have no interest in ever doing that.
However, if you are a tout, you want to have the voice that Nick has. Great. And you want to have the energy because you even know this. You have that tout energy.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's no doubt about it. Yeah, that's kind of always been my deal, even when I was a kid. So, yeah, like, I kind of, even like before I started doing stuff on the air, and, you know, I did it in college, and then I was off air for a while on Sirius XM. It was always kind of like that would be the deal when my friends and I would get together and kind of be like, I would kind of like, not like lead the charge, I guess, kind of lead the charge, I guess is actually kind of fair to say. So I do kind of acknowledge that that's true. People have kind of said I'd be a great salesman if I didn't do what I do now. So yeah, I can't really deny it. But yeah, no interest in selling the picks or being a tout, but I appreciate the compliment that I've got the energy to be one.
A leader of the new school, too, because I've never really seen someone in your position. What do you call someone, I guess a host, but it's like a tout host hybrid. Either way, I've never seen one rock the wristwear that you, well, occasionally, but not with Yeezys and not with like Supreme. So good on you. I like the cut of your jib.
Thank you. No, I it's funny because I feel like, and look, fashion's in the eye of the beholder, right? Style's in the eye of the beholder. So someone like I just got the pair of the 500 Soft Visions today, which are like the 500's probably like the ugliest Yeezy. I think it's actually pretty beautiful, but I have to acknowledge that a lot of people find it ugly. And it's like this lavender color. And like I posted it on Twitter earlier today and people are like, this is the ugliest shoe I've ever seen. People are welcome to their opinions. It's all good. Like I said, fashion and style are in the eye of the beholder. People can look at the way I dress and be like, I don't like that. I could look at the way someone else dresses and not like it. Just because someone doesn't like the way I dress doesn't mean it's not good and vice versa. But I will say that I think that, you know, I used to have less than zero style, none whatsoever. I had no idea what I was doing. And now I feel like I've got a pretty good handle on it. And I don't know if it's like my favorite thing in life, but it's up there as one of my favorite things in life, like just like putting outfits together, buying sneakers, so that whole thing. And I would say that sneakers are kind of the pinnacle of the whole deal for me right now.
I'm interested. I saw on Twitter that you had bet. You're a Giants fan, and I know that you're very anti-Shermer and Gettleman. So you've been kind of, you said you bet on the Cowboys on Monday night. You're very just open about, I am betting against my team, rooting against my team, because I want these guys out of here. And I'm just curious, like, what you think about your Giants. Like, I want to hear you vent about them, because I'm Team Tank, too. I'm a Dolphins fan, and I'm Team Tank. So you're avidly rooting for them to lose out so they get rid of Shermer and Gettleman?
Oh, yeah. No, I will be rooted. And here's the thing. Here's what makes Sunday's game so interesting between the Jets and Giants. I think that if this fan base, the Giants fan base and the Jets fan base here locally where I'm at in the tri-state area, if anyone has a freaking brain, Jets fans should be rooting for the Giants, and Giants fans should be rooting for the Jets. It's going to be the only game in NFL history where both teams should be rooting for the other team. Because if you're a Jets fan, you want to get Adam Gase the hell out of there, right? Because he's been absolutely dreadful, and Sam Darnold's regressing. So if you're a Jets fan, you want Adam Gase out, and I'm a Giants fan. It can't get bad enough. I hope the Jets win 50-0 on Sunday. I mean that sincerely. The best-case scenario for the Giants is if Daniel Jones somehow doesn't look terrible over the course of the season, and they lose every game. So if Jones can be somewhat good, kind of like the way Eli was in his rookie year, and that's like the Daniel Jones bash that gets done. Like, people forget that when Eli replaced Kurt Warner back in 2004, the Giants were 5-4, right? They had a winning record when Eli replaced Kurt Warner. And Eli lost every single game until the final game of the regular season, Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys. I was at that game, and I watched Eli at the end of that game, you know, audible out of a pass at the end of the game to run to Tiki Barber to win the game. And I remember thinking, this guy's going to be really good. So it's certainly possible for a rookie quarterback to not win a lot of games and still have confidence in him. So that's my hope, is that they lose every game the rest of the season, but Jones still looks good. Pat Shermer is the absolute worst. And like, Mike, I'm sorry, buddy, but like, I know, like, this guy used to be your coach. How the hell does this guy get another job? Like, the NFL is so disgusting and nepotistic and incestuous with the hires that get made. Like, Darrell Bevell, like, how about that down by the goal line in the Lions Raiders game on Sunday, calling a play action on 4th-and-2 when the strength of the Raiders defense is stopping the run and Detroit's best running back is on injured reserve, and Stafford throws the ball to the backup tight end, Logan Thomas, who played quarterback at Virginia Tech, wasn't even a tight end in college football. Like, that's the play that you call? And it just speaks to the fact that these guys could just recycle one after another. Darrell Bevell back recalling another offense. Pat Shurmur gets another head coaching job. How the hell does this happen? He did it two against the Patriots, down by two scores with 9 minutes left. You've got your rookie quarterback. Let him go out there and try and put a spin on the wall. Punch the football. Did it again on Monday. Down two scores against the Cowboys. Punch the football with like 8 minutes to go. The guy is awful. And Dave Gettleman is the guy that hired him. Dave Gettleman's the guy that's the running back at number two overall. The worst decision of all time. Said he was touched by the hand of God. How's that going? You know, we could use the hand of God to sweep Dave Gettleman out of New York and out of the Giants front office. He sucks. Shurmur sucks. The team sucks. I want them to lose every game. We need Daniel Jones to be good, though, right? Because we can't afford to take another quarterback. But we need Jones to be good. But everyone else sucks. Want everyone else out. And I'll tell you, man, I know that things are tough in South Florida with the Dolphins right now. I would gladly exchange situations because the Dolphins at least have a plan. The Giants are completely rudderless.
Man, you asked him about the Giants, and he went off, and I know that he had a bad beat in there. What I love about gambling so much is you remember, like, your recall of certain instances. I'm going to remember Logan Thomas being thrown at the end of that game for several months after, and maybe for all of time. So it really helps you out. I've always had this take with Stu Gatz on our regular radio show that I never want gambling to be legalized because I'm drawn to the shadiness of it, the appeal, the bad beats. I don't want, you know, Joe Public out here, Joe Sports Fan, betting on every game, and then all of a sudden there's accountability for referees because he saw something on the NFL app. No, I want to take my bad beat on the chin and remember it forever. Sometimes I remember the bad beats more and I enjoy them. I get a kick out of them.
Oh, the bad beats are the best. It's the best part of it. And look, I think that you have to be, and I'm 36 years old, and I think my self-awareness has grown to a pretty strong degree. And I have to acknowledge at this point that there is a part of me, if we were there like a Nick Costos pie chart, I think it might be more than 50% of the pie chart, that kind of enjoys the misery. Like, I enjoy the pain that goes with a sweat on an NFL Sunday. I kind of enjoy it, right? So, like, the Jason Myers, you want to talk about the Logan Thomas. Logan Thomas, like, I'll remember that forever just because I'm sick with this stuff and I remember everything when it comes down to sports. Like, Logan Thomas will get remembered. But how about I lost legitimately $30,000 because Jason Myers missed that field goal at the end of the Seahawks-Bucks game. I had the greatest DFS lineup of all time, winning $50,000 for the span of like an hour and a half. My girlfriend sitting on the couch, catatonic, great to speak. I'm pacing back and forth like an absolute wild man, hoping that any Russell Wilson throw goes to Tyler Lockett or else he gets sacked on every play. Myers makes that kick. Not only do I, and this is the other thing, right? I'm giving out all week. Like, I bet early for the NFL, right? So last Monday, I bet the Bucs +7. So I won my bet. But I'm on all these radio shows because, like, they want to have you on Friday. And then I'm giving out the worst of the number, but that's just kind of, like, that's kind of the beast, right? So I'm giving out, like, Bucs +4, +4.5. That bet should have won. So that pissed me off, too, because the Bucs should have definitely covered. Anyone who bet Seattle got really lucky. But then the game goes to overtime when that clown Myers misses his first miss of the game. And then Russell Wilson in the overtime period hits every receiver on the Seahawks, not named Tyler Lockett, including some guy named Jacob Hollister. I guess Jacob Abercrombie and Fitch was on the bench when they brought Hollister in. He scores the winning touchdown, and I'm just watching money disappear. And I'm not talking $10, $100, $1,000. I am talking literally $30,000 dissipate in front of my eyes on Sunday. So, yeah, that was really annoying. The bad beats definitely stick with you. And as far as the gambling being legalized thing, like, I love this, whatever it was, like, a couple years ago last year, but gambling's legalized now. But what the hell have I been doing for the last 15 years? I've literally been gambling on sports for almost 2 decades. You're telling me now that it's legalized? Great. I've been gambling. Literally, my life has not changed one iota with all the legalization of gambling. So we do need better officiating, though, Mike. We do need the better officiating. That's got to happen. There does need to be some accountability. Because like I say on Twitter all the time, gentlemen, we are truly, truly living in a golden age of terrible officiating in sports. It's both awful and kind of glorious at the same time, I guess.
Hey, Nick, it's Billy. I'm kind of wondering what you pacing like a madman would be like if this is just you having a normal conversation.
Oh, yeah. So it's kind of a one-off situation here. I've been with my girl for 9 months now, and she's only really seen me melt down prior to Sunday one time, and it was the NBA Finals Game 5. I bet the Raptors and Nick Nurse. They're on like that 107-0 run, and the crowd's going nuts, and Nick Nurse takes, with apologies to Chris Webber in the 93 NCAA championship game, takes the worst time out in the history of sports and kills the momentum, and the Warriors come back and win the game and force the game 6. I melted down after that, and I remember she looks at me and goes, "Is this what it's like when you lose?" And I'm like, "Ah, babe, it's good. It's all good. It's never like this." And then she's here on Sunday, and like, so I've kind of got in the forefront of my mind, right, that like, she's here, right? So like, I can't do like full-on total meltdown because, like, I care about her and I don't want her to kind of see me like that. So I'm kind of like, it was kind of like a quiet, manic pace, but I wasn't, like, walking around muttering, like, F-bombs under my breath like I would have been doing normally. So, man, like, it would have been, if she hadn't been here, like, I don't even know what it would have been like because we ain't talking again. We ain't talking, like, a couple $100. This was literally, like, $50,000 hanging in the balance, so... I don't know what it would have been like. I'm kind of happy she was here for it, though, to be honest with you.
What is a calm you like? Like, do you ever go to, like, Color Me Mine and just, like, paint things to, like, relax? Or, like, what do you do to relax? You seem very, like, high-strung.
Yes, yes. So I go to therapy, like, once a week, which is great, which enables me to calm down. Listen, it's my gift and my curse. Like, I'm completely nuts. And people will say to me, like, this can't be what you're like off the air. I'm like, buddy, why don't you come spend a day with me? And you'll see just how insane I really am. I am high strung to the nth degree. I analyze everything. My girlfriend will even say to other people will say to me, like, your mind must be moving so fast all the time. It really is. So, like, I kind of, as I've gotten older, you know, I've tried to temper it in certain ways. So, like, I put a great emphasis now on my mental health. So, and I'm not trying to say that, like, I'm, like depressed or anything like that. And there's nothing wrong with that, obviously. But, like, I go to therapy because it helps me talk through these issues because my mind is moving so fast and it's always on a million different things. You know, there are other ways that you can maybe take the edge off. You know, and I may not be talking about alcohol. There are other certain things that you can do to maybe take the edge off that I may or may not be a big fan of. But, you know, whether it's walking to the harbor here where I live in Stanford and sitting and just looking at the water or just laying still, this will be great. I can't believe I didn't leave with this. And I told my therapist this a couple weeks ago because he's like, man, he's like, you've got a lot going on. Like, you got to bring it down a little bit. I'm like, I know. You know what I do now?
Sensory deprivation?
I get in my bed or I lay on my couch and I pull the covers over my head and I lay in complete silence and in complete darkness like I'm simulating being back in the womb. And it is glorious. I just take it down to a zero, and I feel like my proverbial tanks start to fill up again. Without those moments of quiet and without those moments of peace, which I never had before because I was always going 120 miles an hour, like, I'm gonna be in an early grave. Like, I'm being candid with you guys. I am going to die early if I don't, like, calm down every once in a while because otherwise, like, you can't live, like, going 120 miles an hour all day. So laying down, closing my eyes, silence. For a long period of time is kind of how I'm able to unwind.
Have you tried like a weighted blanket when you're laying down?
Oh, it's good. Really? Like, should I do that?
Like, you should. It's like, I'm telling you, it's like a hug. It's like this blanket is giving you a hug. Maybe you light a couple like aromatherapy candles and you just relax.
I need this, man. And like, this is the kind of stuff that like, and again, like I'm like, grew up like I am the stereotypical New York sports fan. Like if you had told me like 17-year-old Nick, like, oh, you know what you should do, Nick? You should lay down and light some like lavender scented candles and some incense. I would have been like a jerk, like moron, like no chance I'm doing that. Now I'm of an age where I've got an open mind. And again, I think I'm self-aware at this point to be able to diagnose my faults, right? I think I'm going to do this. I'm going to look into the weighted blanket. I need some candles, man. I need anything that I can do to help me relax. I need to do like, I used to, when I lived in South Florida, I used to go to the, get my hair cut at this place, Coconut Creek, right? And I'm anal retentive about my hair. So I go, to a salon, I spend money on it, whatever. So I would get my hair cut and then I would go and I would get like my hair washed by like another woman in the salon. And she would always like, give me a little massage and she would say to me like, you're very tense, relax. And I'd be like, I am relaxing. And she's like, no, this is not relaxing. I don't know how to do it. Like, I don't know how to not be tense. Like, physically, I don't know how to not be tense. I'm hoping at some point I live long enough that I'm able to figure it out, but I have not up until this point. Maybe the weighted blanket and the aroma candles can help me.
One way that I sort of unwind is I bet first period 10 minutes a team to score in the NHL. That's been on an absolute heater, and it's been a total breeze for me. Is there any other sort of market inefficiencies that I should exploit, sort of like someone scoring in the first 10 minutes in hockey?
Oh, college basketball. And like, and this is not even like me, like host Nick Costos talking. This is like on You Better You Bet on the show that I host for AuburnRadio.com Sports. We have all the odds makers on, the pro bettors on during the week. They all say that there is no market that can be exploited greater, especially right now when like all the sports are intersecting right now, right? So we got college football, we got the NFL both in the hearts of the season. NBA is underway now, right? NHL is underway. We've got soccer as well in the Champions League. Great Chelsea Ajax game, Mike, by the way, yesterday. That was pretty thrilling. And now yesterday there were like 130 college basketball games. Like there is literally not enough time for bookmakers to like put sharp numbers up for all these games. So there is major market inefficiency here. Now, I'm not going to lie to you guys and be like, I'm the one with the spreadsheet because I can't even operate Excel. I don't even think I have it on my computer, so I'm not the one that's doing it. But there are a lot of pro bettors out there, and they come on our show, and they'll text me games, and I'll text them to other people, that college basketball now, before it becomes like February and March when it's what everyone wants to bet on leading into the tournament, these lines are not sharp. There's a ton of value to be gleaned on a massive college basketball board every day. So that is by far the most inefficient market in terms of us being able to potentially take advantage of it.
What do you guys feel? And I kind of know how you feel. I know, Mike, how you feel because you often talk about doing it. And I saw, Nick, that you tweeted about how you bet the second half for your Cowboys bet on Monday night. And I'm curious because I always lose. Anytime I bet a game and then it's not going well, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to double down on the second half. I always lose. Is this something, do Sharks bet second half or live, or is this just like, you know, straight junkies that are doing this?
Oh, no, they definitely do. And again, like, I think it's important to draw. I will never like misrepresent myself to the audience, to you guys, to anybody. It's very important to draw a line between like someone like me, right? Like, I am not paid by my employers to pick 60%. I am paid to entertain. I am paid to host shows. So, like, I'm not going to lie to you and be like, I'm the one that sits there on a college football Saturday, like, in a dark room all day, just, like, staring at numbers until I see something that makes sense. Now, if it's a big enough game, like, for instance, last night, we were talking about it on the show, like, if we can get Kentucky at a certain number live, we're going to look to do it. But there are definitely people, and there's definitely a fit. Because here's the thing about live betting, right? It's an algorithm. Like, people are not sitting, like, they're not in a room like they are, like, deciding what the lines are going to be for games, like, live, like, during, like, a commercial timeout of a basketball game. So that's just an algorithm that spits numbers out. And I think, like, the Warriors in the NBA playoffs last year, and really all of last season, they weren't the greatest third-quarter team in NBA history. Like, that was a major thing that people were taking advantage of, even in the postseason, because that market can be inefficient as well. Now, again, I'm not trying to position myself as the dude that's sitting there in front of the computer, because that's not me, but like that is the way that pro bettors really do gamble. And we have a guy named Kenny White who comes on our show every Tuesday, the Wizard of Oz, who like on Saturdays is like, will watch games just for a spot where he feels like now I'm going to get the best of the number. So do I do it all the time personally? No. But are there a lot of pro bettors that do it? Yes.
Yeah, it's great for value, and credit to Nick, because I actually went live in game later in that Cowboys Giants game. Nick and our Golden Goose, Chris Cody, our Golden Goose also.
Don't say his name.
Golden, we're not gonna, I think Nick knows who the Golden Goose is. He was on an absolute tear. But they were both telling everybody through their various channels that this is going to be a relatively high-scoring game, maybe some back and forth. And if it's going to be back and forth and it's going to be high-scoring, then you know there's going to be opportunity to get value on a side that perhaps the line is a little too big early on. So, yeah, the Golden Goose and Nick were right in this instance. You got a couple guys. You got a Golden Goose that I'm sure you have a couple Golden Geese that text you. But on Twitter, I'm not even going to say his name because I don't want to bring the bad juju like Barstool revealed this guy's name, and he's actually still doing all right for himself. But when you got that one Golden Goose, you got to protect it, right?
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of people, like, and this is just kind of like just from I've been doing kind of the sports gambling stuff, not like to the degree that I'm doing it now, but I've been doing it for, I guess, 6 years now when I was writing for Bleacher Report in 2013. And this is, again, this is what I'm going to say is truly, like, not a criticism of Bleacher Report or any entity for that matter. Like, I kind of had to talk them into a little bit, letting me do an NFL picks column, like a picks against the spread column, because even then it wasn't as invoked nearly, of course, as it is now, or even a couple years ago. And again, that was not meant to be a knock. It's just kind of like the way that things have changed. So, like, I've kind of been in this space for a long time, and I think that there are, like, There are a lot of seedy people, obviously, in any walk of life, not just in this field, but this field kind of lends to it, obviously, right? But there are a lot of people on Twitter and the sports media who are pro gamblers that have transitioned to the sports media that I really think are largely on the up and up. And I think that there's a lot of great free information that you can glean out there. Now, I'm going to sound like a shameless self-promoter right now, which I am, but, like, we have a lot of them on our show that come on and they give this information away for free. You don't have to pay for it. And, like, the information is rock solid. These people are, like, proven long-term winners. It doesn't mean that they can't have a day or a week or a month where they lose, but these are people that are going to win long-term. So I actually think that now, as opposed to, like, even, like, 5 or 6 years ago or even, like, 2 or 3 years ago, I think there's a lot of good information from reputable people out there. It's not like it used to be. So I think that there are a number of quote-unquote golden geese out there that we can mine for information and also for money.
Yeah, Nick is a great way to get some of that information, and his podcast is really good. You better, you bet, and don't be a freeloader. Like, subscribe, rate, review. Do that with the Mystery Crate as well. I want to get back into how you sort of kick back and relax and detach yourself. How often do you check your – wait – How often do you check your phone on a given football Saturday or Sunday?
Well, I think that we can probably extend that question to any day that ends in a Y, and the answer is constantly, constantly on the phone. I would say it's less the phone on a Sunday, and I know that I'm being a little like specific with the answer here, but on Sundays it's the computer, and I've got like, one of the fantasy apps up. Because the fantasy apps are great because they show you it's literally great for gambling and it's great for fantasy. In addition to being a gambler, like, and I love gambling on sports, I am absolutely obsessed with fantasy football. I'm in double-digit leagues every year. I got a lot going on. People will ask me sometimes, like, someone will get a text on Sunday, like, at 4:30, like, how's the day going? And I'm like, guy, there ain't no way to answer this question because literally every single play in every single game has impact on something that I'm doing. So it's not until, like, 11:30 until, like, the final game ends on Sunday night on the East Coast that I'm able to really excel. Now, Sundays are, like, the high holy day for me. Now, just to tell you guys about me and my sports fandom, I'm an obsessive sports fan. All the major sports have been my entire life, but the NFL has always been king for me. The Giants have always been my favorite team. So Sunday is a day where, like, I will never miss an NFL Sunday. There are some Saturdays, and I say this on my show, where, like, look, I got a personal life, man. I got a relationship. I got a family. Like, I got to attend to some of this stuff sometimes. So if there's a crappy college football card, I may punt for half or three quarters of it. This Saturday I can't because it's LSU-Bama. I got to watch that game. But there are some Saturdays that have been this year, because I think the regular season's kind of been crappy, where I've been able to say, okay, I can miss half this college football Saturday, go out and do something with my girlfriend, and not really miss anything. Sundays I will never miss. Saturdays, if it's a bad card, I'm okay with missing a little bit because, again, I have to put my mental health, make it a priority. I can't be sitting in front of the TV, beholden to the TV, watching games 24/7. It's not good for my health.
Have you had relationships end because of this?
No. I will give myself a little credit in this regard here. When it has come down to it, and, well, you know, that's actually not true. So, I'm kind of like it's rolling through the mental roller. That it really is not true. So, I'll give you two. I would say that the relationships didn't end for that reason, like, but I would say that the tipping point for the relationships ended. Both revolved around sports, and both revolved around the Giants Super Bowl. So I remember with my first girlfriend, when the Giants lost to the Ravens in Super Bowl 35, we were driving by where I used to live on Long Island, and we're listening to WFAN, and they were doing some trivia contest. And the answer to the question was Glenn Parker. It was like, which player on the Giants or whatever has lost four Super Bowls? And Parker was an offensive lineman on the four Bills teams that lost in the early 90s. And they had some guy on who was like, oh, I'm a huge fan, I'm going to get the question right. And he didn't know the answer. He didn't know the answer was Glenn Parker. And for me, like, I'm like a stickler, and I'm like great with sports trivia. And I'm not just saying that, like, I really am. And I'm like in the car, I'm like, that's idiot. Like, how does he not know that? This guy thinks he's an expert. And my girlfriend looks to me and goes, why do you always have to be so critical of everybody? And I remember thinking in that moment, this probably ain't going to work out. And then in 2008, when the Giants had Super Bowl 42 against the Patriots, like, I am so high strung, obviously, right? And like, the Giants winning that Super Bowl kind of, like, I feel like liberated me as a sports fan. I don't know how you guys feel, like, when your team, your favorite team, wins for the first time. Like, all those Yankee World Series were great. I'm a bigger Giants fan than I am a Yankees fan. I would have sold all those World Series just to beat the Patriots in that one Super Bowl and not even thought twice about it. So I was so on edge going into that game because it's all I've ever wanted as a sports fan was a moment like that. And I got it, which was obviously great. And then they did it again 4 years later, which was awesome. My girlfriend at the time is like, by the way, we invited ourselves to the Super Bowl party. So it was my girlfriend and her twin sister, and my buddy was dating the twin sister. And I'm just thinking to myself, oh, my God, this is like, and this is kind of sad to say, this was the truth at the time, it was the biggest day of my life, February 3rd, 2008. And my girlfriend's going to be sitting there wanting to talk about the commercials or what, like, Britney Spears is wearing in the halftime show or whatever crap, and I couldn't deal with it. And I literally canceled on the Super Bowl party, went to watch with some of my buddies at SiriusXM instead, and that was the beginning of the end of that relationship as well.
It sounds like you don't regret either one of those situations.
Oh, no, it was definitely. Well, the first girl was cool. She was cool. Second one was like, she would have been badgering me the entire game about nonsense, and I would have absolutely lost it. So, listen, in the grand scheme of things, do I regret it? No. But, like, is it kind of funny to think about in retrospect? It is.
All right, Nick Kossos, host of the great podcast You Better You Bet, or his weekly video series on SI, where he makes some football picks. I'm a big fan of what you do on social media. So we're looking at this slate, and I know you got picks throughout the week, and you're pretty public about it. And like I said, like you said, you're not a tout. So give us something this weekend that we can make some money on.
All right. Well, we want to start with the NFL card, or do we want to talk some college football first? Because I got a college football pick that I really like. You guys would like it.
Oh, let's do the college football pick.
Well, I think that the game that stood out to me on the whole board was Texas against Kansas State. Now, there's some value gone with the line because Texas opened at 5.5. It's up to 7 the last time I checked. But that's a classic, like, last time we saw Texas, they were losing to TCU. We've seen Kansas State now the last couple of weeks, obviously, upset OU. We had that on at the show. We had Kansas State on the money line a couple of weeks ago. That was great. So K-State beats Oklahoma. Then Kansas State goes, and they thrash Kansas last week, Les Miles and the Jayhawks. And that was after Kansas was coming off the win over Texas Tech. So people are high on Kansas State right now, and people are down on Texas, obviously. But the line keeps going up in favor of the Longhorns. So I would look to lay it on Saturday with Texas. As far as Sunday slate is concerned, Mike, I hate to do this, buddy, but I don't think I can bet on your Browns until they fire Freddie Kitchens. Yeah. Guy is the absolute worst.
You finally learned your lesson, huh?
So, like, last Monday, man, like, before they pulled the game off the board when the Flacco announcement came down, I dropped, like, a good amount of money on Browns plus 1.5. And, like, it was fine because I still won money on DFS, but it's like the guy is actively making decisions in the best interest of the other team. You know that. Everyone knows it. I think he might be worse than Hugh Jackson. And I'm not saying that glibly. So no interest in taking the Browns. I may end up taking Buffalo if I can get 3 with the Bills. Cleveland currently sitting at -2.5 for that game on Sunday. But rest of the card on Sunday. I bet the Bengals a couple days ago at +10, and this is kind of a close-your-nose special. Bengals are hosting Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. Now, I would feel better about it. This is a sentence that no one utters. I'd feel better about it if Andy Dalton were the quarterback, because at least you know what you're going to get with Dalton. But Ryan Finley, who's New Cincinnati's new starting quarterback, in all seriousness, was very impressive in the preseason. And I was kind of calling for it in the preseason. Like, at some point, Dalton's got to hit the bench. He's obviously not the guy that's going to lead this team to a Super Bowl. A.J. Green is back now. So they've got the full complement of weapons. The offensive line is still garbage. But again, like, Baltimore's coming off the big win that everyone saw last on national television against the Patriots. It's a huge spread in a divisional game on the road. So I took 10 with the Bengals the other day. I like the Bengals. And there's another close your nose special, guys. And this one may be a little hard to for people to take, but I kind of like the Falcons to cover the 2-touchdown spread, 13 points, whatever it is right now in New Orleans. This is quite literally the I actually got laughed at for saying this on the show last night, and but maybe I'm ridiculous. Maybe the Saints will win like 51-7. This is their Super Bowl, and Matt Ryan's coming back healthy here. And I think that they kind of know, like, last chance saloon here to at least go out and put forth a good effort. Divisional game. These two teams usually play each other pretty tough. I'm going to take the points with the Atlanta Falcons, guys, and may God have mercy on my soul. And one other sharp bet for you guys this week. All the pro gamblers that we've had on this far this week are all looking at the Packers at home against the Panthers, laying the 5 or the 5.5, and also are looking at the Pittsburgh Steelers as a 3.5-point home underdog against Jared Goff and the Rams. We want to see the weather report for that game. If the weather is cold, remember what we saw Jared Goff do last year, Sunday Night Football in Chicago, when it was cold. The guy can't function in cold weather. If it's a cold Sunday in Pittsburgh, I'm going to take those points with Mason Rudolph and the Steelers.
Excellent stuff there, Nick. Thank you so much. Also, one last thing. You mentioned you're a big fantasy football player, and obviously you're a noted gambler. How often do these intersect with player props?
Oh, quite a bit. I would say mostly on the island games, which is the games like on Thursday night, Sunday night, and Monday night. This is what like people will say to me sometimes, like, well, what do you think about this? And I feel like saying to them, like, yo, how many hours do you think there are in the day? Like, how much time do you think I have to devote to this crap? Like, I got to sweat back and forth to the city, and like, Sports Illustrated pays me, and like, the exposure is great, so not complaining about the job. But man, I got to sweat back and forth. I do a 4-hour radio show every night. You guys know what that's like on a daily basis here. Like, I'm trying to go to the gym. I'm trying to keep in shape. I got outside interests other than sports. There's just not enough time for all this stuff. So the player props I will mostly look at for the island games, but I usually generally will have a couple. My favorite are the anytime touchdown props. So, like, for instance, the Steelers-Dolphins game on Monday night, I had Deontay Johnson plus 170. I just felt like the Dolphins, obviously, are susceptible to the deep ball. We've seen that all season. Johnson had been their deep ball specialist. Now, it didn't work out how I thought it would. It was the tankalicious defense by Miami parting like the Red Sea, allowing Johnson to score that touchdown. But it did happen. That was plus 170. So those are my favorite player props in the NFL. The will a player score a touchdown? We had Kittle last week against the Cardinals. Cardinals terrible against opposing tight ends. I'll give you one right now, guys. And I don't know what the number is on this. I have not looked. But O.J. Howard's back this week for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And he's been really disappointing this season. The hope is that now that he's back from injury, Jameis played better last week, that Howard can be involved. The Cardinals are one of the worst, if not the worst team in the NFL against opposing tight ends. I think O.J. Howard's going to score on Sunday. So, again, I don't know what that number is. I haven't looked yet, but I think Howard's going to score a touchdown on Sunday, and that's probably something I'll take a look at.
Oh, man, that's a bold prediction because O.J. Howard has been bad. Also, your bets this weekend, a lot of opportunity for hashtag bad teams to pop up. We're at that point in the season where you start writing off teams because they simply can't be trusted. All right, last question. It's a sneaker-related question. What's your stance on the fear of gods? I know they're super popular, and there was that sneakers lottery. I don't like them at all. Like, get that shoe away from me. I don't care what. Who likes it or what influencer is telling me to wear it. What sneaker out there is a sneaker that you just don't get the hype about? You're wearing some shoes right now that might be considered ugly in those new Yeezy 500s. What's the worst shoe on the market that's got a big deal around it?
Man, I got a sizzling hot take for you, man. This one's so good that you guys may need a hazmat suit to handle this hot take I'm about to give you. I hate Jordans.
Whoa,
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of basketball shoes in general. Like, the reason why I think Yeezys are so dope and they're the most badass sneaker on the market is because for me, and again, like I said, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Some people may not like them. But for me, like, there are two important things with sneakers. A, do they look good? B, are they comfortable? Yeezys are ridiculously comfortable because they have the Boost technology. Even the 500s don't have the Boost, but they are insanely comfortable. Look, I'm not putting a pair of like Paul George's on or Giannis's on to walk around like the city for a day. You know what I mean? These are basketball sneakers. They're not like lifestyle sneakers. So like for me, I want nothing. I had a pair of Jordans, like a pair of Jordan 1s. I sold them. I sold them for a pair of Yeezys, actually. I just have no interest in them. I don't think they look particularly good. I don't think they're very comfortable. I'm not a basketball sneaker guy. I got to also be honest with you guys. Like, I like Air Maxes, but aside from Air Maxes, I'm more of like, or I like off-white stuff also, because Virgil Abloh like kills it with the collabs with Nike. I'm much more of an Adidas fan than a Nike fan. So like, I'm firmly on Team Adidas, unless Nike wants to sponsor me or send me free stuff, in which case I am a huge Nike fan. I'm the fear of God, so the problem with them, they're not very comfortable. I haven't worn a pair, but I know a couple people who have them. They're not very comfortable, but they do look kind of dope. And the pair that came out this past weekend, the Oatmeals, is one that you can rock basically with anything. It's like this tan brownish color. So basically it goes with everything. The price point, though, they're $350, and that's retail. Like the 500s that I copped this past weekend, I got it retail. They're $200, which is whatever for me. Like $350, though, I mean, like for a pair of sneakers that aren't that comfortable, no way, no how. And if they're $350 at retail, they're going to resell for like $500 on StockX or like Goat or one of these other sites that selling sneakers. So the fear of gods for me are a pass because they're too expensive and they're not comfortable. If they were comfortable, I'd consider it, but they're not. And for me, I'm an easy guy through and through. I like Ultra Boost. I want nothing to do with the Jordans. I don't get the fascination with Jordans. I guess that I'm in the minority because everyone loves them. But for me, Jordans are a hard no. Like Randy Jackson would say, that's a no for me, dog.
I'm actually with you for the most part on the Jordans. Now, they do have, like, the Travis Scott collabos are great. I'm a big fan of the Jordan 1s. I think that's a classic-looking shoe, and the 11s are pretty cool.
You picked up the Fearless, right? The ones that dropped this weekend with the Carolina blue and the red. I actually kind of like those. I saw that on your Instagram story, right?
Yeah, they're good, and they're also, like, the Jordan 1s are great for custom pieces, too. Because artists like to work on them. It's got a lot of space on it. So everyone just sort of, it's a classic shoe. Everyone's got to have a pair of Jordan 1s, except for Nick, who resells them for Yeezys.
Yes.
All right.
I got no interest in them, man. They ain't comfortable, and I don't think they look very good. But again, that's me. And, like, I won't criticize anyone for what they like in the same way that I don't think people could criticize me for what I like. But that's what's going to happen because we know how humans are, and that's just kind of the deal.
I appreciate the hot take. It was good stuff. Nick Kassos, thank you so much. Make sure to check out his podcast, You Better You Bet. Follow him on Twitter. He's a great follow, and he's got unbelievable energy, and he's got a great, bright future ahead of him.
Thanks, Nick.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you guys very much, and love the show. You guys do an unbelievable job and have been creative inspiration for me in my career. So very much appreciate the opportunity to come on.
You know, I usually rely on energy drinks or coffee or boom boom sticks for energy, but really all I need to do is talk to Nick Kassos, yeah, you guys, yeah, because he's got an unbelievable energy. And if you haven't considered gambling because of some moral stigma that you have.
Or you have no money.
Find some,
yeah,
and, you know, get rid of that moral stigma, yeah, because, I mean, that guy makes me want to do all sorts of illegal activity.
Yeah.
With his energy. He can convince me to do anything. Including take St. John's over 153.
Ooh. Wow.
Nick Kassos, everybody. Hopefully we'll have him on again. Loved having him on. If you enjoy what you're listening to here on the Mystery Crate, please subscribe, rate, review, and why don't you check out some of our other properties. And here's what I'm going to promote today. I'm not going to promote Supodity, the Meanie Kime show. That's what she said. Marty Smith's America, South Beach Engine. I'm not going to do that. I want to promote the Local Hour.
Yes.
It's part of the Dan Levitard show with Stu Gatz Feed. Thank you to all the supporters of the Dan Levitard show with Stu Gatz. We just had a monster month when it came to downloads of the podcast, and we want to keep that going. Unbelievable. Yes. You would think that people hate the show that we do without Dan, but we did awesome. Yes. Yeah. And we want to keep that going, and a large part of that is the local hour.
Yes.
The local hour, you guys have made that a smashing success of a digital property. We can't thank you enough. If you like the Mystery Crate, guess what? We kind of do this shit five times a week.
That's right.
Five times a week. We talk a little bit of South Florida sports, and sometimes we talk about pop culture shit, and it's fun. It's all the banter that you know and love.
Yes.
So please, subscribe to the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gottsfeed. I imagine you do, because this is really inside humor if you don't.
Mm-hmm.